Guys, what is the crack? Welcome to the Bitcoin with Dini podcast. I was just asking Ivan there, how do I pronounce his second name? So here we go, man. Welcome, Ivan Makedonsky. How was that?
It was awesome. Thank you for having me.
thanks for being here, man. Looking forward to having a little bit of a chat with you about Bitcoin inheritance and that. Whereabouts are you zooming in from?
I'm coming from Bulgaria, Sofia, Bulgaria, the capital. And joining live with Ireland right now.
Awesome. Good to connect, man. Let's get straight into it, because I've heard the story before. It's moving, it's powerful, it's tragic, but I haven't really talked about Bitcoin. And like we know as Bitcoiners, and I know you're a Bitcoiner, that Bitcoin fixes a lot of things, but I haven't talked to my podcast before about Bitcoin inheritance. Could you take us through your sort of traditional inheritance story and how that was?
I would say that the story starts a bit before 2013, and it is a later effect after 2008, because up until 2008 my mother was a businesswoman and she did fairly well. But after 2008, we were okay, but things started to shrink here and there. And the person next to her wasn't really working, and he demanded more and more. And at some point, she said, I've had enough. I want a divorce. And in 2013, things were getting really bad. And when he realized that this is actually going to happen, the divorce is going to happen, and he doesn't have an income and stuff like that, he kidnapped and killed her. Stabbed her 13 times in the neck, brutally murdered, and it was a whole thing. And not only emotional damage was caused there, but as I said on another podcast, that the fear damage that it's causing, it's not only money. It's so much more that it's immeasurable. This story for me, I bet that there are much worse stories, but this is what I've experienced. And just because it's shrinking money, because somebody is stealing from you, these are kind of the effects that happen as a second and third order consequences. And this is what I've experienced. And in 2014, when that thing happened, I had to become the parent for my sister. And we were trying to figure out how are we going to figure it out, everything. And not only with the killing, but even after that, he managed to take things that were supposed to be inherited by me and my sister, and so he can sell it, so he can form a group to bribe some people, so he could have less sentence in jail and all kinds of things. And not only to take some of those stuff, but all the liabilities, the credits and stuff like that, were inherited by us. He didn't even pay 1 cent for our education or anything else. And going through that process, you can imagine that you're questioning a lot of stuff. And one of the things that I found out in Bulgaria, how it is set up, is that everything that you buy after you sign the document that you are married, even if you buy 100% of that property, it's half owned by the two spouses. So everything that she ever bought, 50% of it he owned. And not only that, but after she died, the her 50%, you can't inherit it straight away. But you separate it, and even 50% of that he was supposed to own. And 7 years were the trials to convict him, even though he confessed and he was caught with the body and stuff like that. It was 7 years until we could even use the money, not even the money, but the properties to do what we like. But the damage was already done. And I would say, because of those kind of rules that are about laws and marriages, I said, okay, so I don't want this to happen to my children. So I am not going to sign a document that would say I will marry it. So 75% of it goes to somebody that I may not want to, or even if I say I want my spouse to get 20% or even 100%, but it's not my will, which is the whole point of this, that Bitcoin is the first and so far I think the only thing that could execute your will 100% the way that you want it to be. So if you wanted to give it to charity, die with your keys. If you want to give it to one person, you give it to one person. If you want to give it to five people and whatever percentages you like, you set it up this way, and Bitcoin is the only thing that you can do.
Sure.
If it's not Bitcoin, your will is what the state allows it to be. It's not your will, actually.
that's where I wanted to go, like, because it's almost like the state come into it. And even if you don't have a will, the state come into it in Ireland anyway. It's like the state come heavily into it if you don't happen to have a will. So either way, without ever asking for it, and I've seen this as well. I've seen when people die that their wishes aren't fulfilled and something has happened that I know that they wouldn't be happy with. And it's tragic. And I'm like, well, when I die, all the assets I have, all the wealth I've accumulated, I would like it distributed the way I would like. And I know it's not going to affect me because I'm going to be dead. But yep, while I'm alive, it affects me to go, I want this sorted out so that I'm not like these other people I've heard of who, you know, what's happening with their wealth, they'd be disgusted and they'd be like really disappointed, yep, that their whole life's work went into this and their wealth has moved in a way that they didn't want or wanted to happen. Did you find that the state was also involved?
I would say the state is involved because it's a criminal case in my situation. But even because they are suing him for how many times he has to go to jail, but even if it is just by natural causes and the state is not involved, they are still involved because of the written laws. And you have to figure out what is going to happen. And even if the state is not involved, just because somebody said the rules are like this and you don't comply just because you don't know, somebody from the other people could say, oh, you didn't execute by law, so I'm going to sue you to be the proper way or the whatever way. And it's just this type of things that it's horrible because you are building, let's say, a castle, imaginary castle, and by building it, you have a vision about it, what's going to happen. And you might want to leave that to somebody that's competent. Another thing is that, yeah, if you're building a business and you give it to your kids and they're small, they're going to destroy that business because they're just don't know how. They don't know who is the responsible person. They don't know all the moving parts. But with Bitcoin, you don't need to know anything. You just get it and you can transform it to anything that you're competent about, and you can do and produce whatever you like from that point on.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about sort of how a Bitcoin inheritance strategy might work or how you've thought about it.
I'm always on the lookout for how it could look. The things that our companies, they set up multisig, which is okay, because once you die, you have somebody that would say okay to all the people that inherit the Bitcoin. Here is the extra key and you can access the wallet. But even though it's fine because you know that Bitcoin will be passed on, again, you get into the point where it's another entity involved, so there could trigger provision of the law, and the state gets involved, or anybody else, and again, somebody might sue you because they want more of your Bitcoin, and all those kinds of things. But again, if you don't want kind of that responsibility, you know that it's going to be passed on and it's not going to be lost, this is a solution. Another solution is there's another company that you put a transaction in the future blocks. And let's say that you put the transaction in the next 5 years and to go to this wallet or these wallets that are your people that you would like to leave your Bitcoin to. But again, this is kind of active management that you have to do, because if you don't die in 5 years, you have to put it in somewhere else so it doesn't execute that transaction. And it's still a solution. Developers are trying to figure all those things out, how it is the best one. For me, the best one that it is right now possible is that nobody knows. And you just set up a wallet and you give half of the keys, let's say, to the person that is going to inherit it. And you set up some kind of a system that he receives the other half of the keys after you die. Let's say you put a poem somewhere, or you send an email with a latency, or even notary deed. I leave you this poem with these phrases, let's say. But the person that is going to inherit the Bitcoin knows what exactly that thing means. And because you're leaving that to the notary deed, it's half of the keys and he has the other half, so nobody else could access it. And it's again your will. So personal responsibility and setting it up yourself will always work, but I hope other solutions come to the market with solving that issue.
Yeah, I think like everything, entrepreneurs are probably working on this, and things are going to be, you know, there's going to be products, there's going to be solutions. Everything in Bitcoin is only going to get easier, as it has done over the last 5 years. You know, it's a hell of a lot simpler to use Bitcoin today than it was 5 years ago. And it's a hell of a lot simpler to use Bitcoin 5 years ago than it was 10 years ago. Okay, and in 5 years' time, it's going to be simpler. And we're going to have products because we've entrepreneurs working on stuff every hour of the day all over the world who are building and creating and solving these problems. It's something I've thought about with the whole inheritance thing, and it's you know, you're bringing up some good ideas and that, but it's something that you have to consider, because I think on the other side of that is, if you don't consider it and you don't plan for your inheritance and you die suddenly or unexpectedly, well, then, as you say, you are doing a charitable donation, in that you're just donating to charity, basically, because you're making the existing Bitcoin that's liquid be worth more. But obviously, most people would like to, you know, give their wealth to a loved one or a friend or whatever, like, or a charity of their choice. So it's something that I think is worthy and worth considering. Because you never know when you're going to die suddenly, you know, you don't know you're going to get into a car accident. So it's something to consider. And I have strategy and plan in place, you know, personally as well. And I won't go into it because I like to keep it sort of private, but just to say that I have set up a structure, and I have, there is a plan should anything happen to me. And I was touching wood when you were saying we probably won't die in 5 years. I'll switch wood again. But it's certainly very interesting, and I think it's going to bring a whole new angle to the whole inheritance space, and possibly, like, basically what Bitcoin does is it gives more power back to the person. And I think when it comes to inheritance, it's likely to also do that, is give more power back to the person, that even when they're dead, they can set up while they're alive to have more control over where their wealth goes and how their wealth is distributed.
One thought about that, if I may, is that what Warren Buffett says, even though he's not a Bitcoiner at all, he's definitely somebody that benefited a lot from fiat, but I like his saying that I would like to retire 5 years after I'm dead. So with Bitcoin, I bet that in the future you could set it in such a way that even after you die, because you know that it's going to increase in value every single Bitcoin, you could say that I'm going to release, let's say, 20% every 4 years or every 10%, and you can expand that thing even more and more for even bigger generational wealth. And I bet that those solutions would come to pass in the future. But something that I was thinking is that you have your wallet set up and you have a trigger with certain policies that if that wallet is inactive for, let's say, the next 5 years, then start executing those policies. I'm kind of on the lookout for something like this, but it's executed automatically through a code, not something that you actively have to manage. I don't find anything yet, but that would be cool.
Yeah, and one thing I was thinking about was, I remember seeing a little, it was like a video on YouTube, you might have seen it, it was just a funny thing. Well, it wasn't really, well, it was sort of tragic funny. He was, some guy had inherited some Bitcoin, and he went to, he Googled how much it was worth. Of course, he was like, ah, forget it. And then he Googled how much it was worth, and he was like, whoa, it was millions, because it was bought, you know, a period of time ago. And then because he had no experience with Bitcoin, he copied and pasted the Bitcoin address and he sent it to an exchange, and then it never arrived on the exchange. And he was like waiting and wondering. and then he went back and he checked his copy paste, and he'd copied all, but he'd left out one digit. So basically he'd lost the whole fortune in one wrong click. And I suppose my thinking on that is, one, this is why it's important to teach family and friends, whoever's going to inherit it, like, know what you're inheriting. Don't feck this up. Like,
yeah.
This is, and I like what you say about as well, the forced huddle, that if you don't think that, you know, to like, I'm really good at deferring gratification. I'm really good at, you know, saving this stuff. But if you think whoever you're going to send the Bitcoin to, you know, you obviously don't want to give it to an 18-year-old. If someone gave me, you know, a sum of money at 18, I'd only done bad with it, basically, okay? I'd much rather that they locked it up and that instead of giving me, you know, let's say 20 grand at 18, I'd much rather I received like 200 grand at age 30, because I'd be much more capable of managing that money and growing that money. So the forced huddle is really good to have that in inheritance strategy, that you're drip feeding whoever's inheriting your wealth over time, as opposed to just giving them all at once. They don't know how to manage the Bitcoin. They don't understand Bitcoin. They don't understand that this is something that's programmed to go up in value forever. And they go and swap it for euros or some currency that's just gone down in value forever, which would be a really stupid thing to do. So we protect them from themselves. And they're like kicking the grave going, you bastard, give me the rest of my money. I'm like, it's coming, it's coming. Every 5 years, you're going to get some.
Yeah, and what you said actually is it's not their money. Just like Bitcoin fixed a lot of things, your money is in your account. Everybody else's account, even dead, it's their money. So even if they stomp at the grave and say, give me my money, it's not your money. If I want, I will burn it. And for the first time, I will have the ability to do so. And you can't dig into my grave and like they stole from the pharaohs and all the people in the previous years. Once it gets into your account, now it's your money. And you can do whatever you like with it. I don't have anything to say. I've seen inheritance, let's say, somebody died and he said he left pretty big buildings in Bulgaria. And he said nobody is allowed to sell it for the next 50 years. Those kind of conditions apply. But does it really make sense? You are dead and you don't know what's going to happen. Once you leave it to somebody that's competent, it's much more that makes much more sense for them to realize the value that moment and at that time. But it's kind of these imaginary rules that we have to comply with. With Bitcoin, it's nothing imaginary. Even though you can't see it and touch it, it's absolute truth. And you can execute your will, you want to manifest something in reality by buying something or producing something or building something. Bitcoin is the tool that will help you get there.
You touch on one thing just Bitcoin being truth, I think this is going to become really important. I'd love to get your take on it. As we're seeing AI develop so fast now, so right now we can make anyone say anything on the internet. We can make any person say anything. That's not truth, it's just fiction, okay? But it's impossible for me as a human to decipher fact from fiction now. And this is where I think Bitcoin's role is going to increase, because our trust, I think, is just being broken down. Okay, and we're less trusting of institutions than we ever have been. And I suppose the last couple of years have accelerated that. And the development of technology and deep fakes and everything is accelerating that we're just confused. And that's why I love that Bitcoin is just this protocol it's just based on truth. And I'm not trusting humans. I'm trusting physics. So I'm trusting the same rules that make like the sun rise tomorrow. Humans can't control that. Humans can't change it. We can't make the sun not rise. And I think that Bitcoin's role is going to grow in importance, because it's going to be this one thing that you can trust in, whereas everything else is like just examples of our trust being broken.
Yeah, definitely. And physics is based on math. Math is the tool trying to explain physics, what's reality, what's actually happening. And once you figure that out, okay, I can't change gravity. Now I have to comply with gravity. Or I want to run, let's say, 50 miles an hour. No, you can't. human bodies simply can't. You can use technology for this. But in the fiat system, it's kind of rules, but they are absolutely breakable. And there, it's not only the supposed rules that is kind of based on math, but you're also relying on the emotion on the other side. And emotions are not something that's actually true. Emotions are changing constantly. And let's say right now with Jerome Powell, when is he going to do the pivot? Now it's not only a fight about the stupid number, the rate, but it's also about, I want to figure out what he is going to do. And on the other side, he is trying to figure out what are we going to do so he can get one over us. And that type of mental play, let's say, you can't actually trust it. I can trust that, okay, I see this one finger, it is one, like I can touch it. But the fiat system, and it's getting ridiculous at this point. I don't know what's going to happen for all the people that have a big bag of fiat. Everybody is going to Venezuela eventually. That type of fiat system with hyperinflation. But I hope that everybody realizes you need to get involved. If nobody is coming to save you, actually, on the opposite, there are a lot of people incentivized for you to not be saved, but they are. But with Bitcoin, I want to help you the most. This is the only network that if you win, I win as much proportionally. And with the fiat system, is one against the other. It's survival. And I can talk for hours and hours, but I'll leave it there for now.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of things there, and I was just scribbling down a few notes. But one of the things I suppose I'll just tackle is, because Bitcoin has a price, there's a stigma of the network, okay, of the network growing. If Bitcoin didn't have a price and it was just the internet, and people were saying, you should get on the internet, there'd be no stigma. But I think we're instinctively, because humans think with fear or greed, you know, we're either fearful or we're greedy of an offer. And because our trust has been broken so many times in the past, we're like, well, what's in it for that person? But this is as you mentioned, it's the one system that everybody benefits. There's as much the benefit as the seller, as the buyer of the network. Because, you know, really what we're doing is, as Bitcoiners, is we're teaching people about this network. And they come to a rational decision. They're not forced to onboard like fiat, our traditional money system. It's, we all have an option to onboard into Bitcoin. No one's is sort of forced into Bitcoin, but it has that stigma. And then what you said about the fiat, system, like, no one's coming to save you. You're dead right. They're coming to wreck you. This system, this fiat system works on debt, and that means it relies on people not understanding the system, and people taking on debt and living above their means, and governments living above their means. And then we have to bankrupt people, you know, to have these booms and busts to try and fix the debt for a little period of time. And then we layer upon more debt and we get more people in debt. And, you know, so it's not that they're coming to save you. It's they must wreck you. They must make you struggle financially. That's just how fiat money works. And that's why we're so passionate about this alternative system that rather being fiat is built on lies, because the money is a lie. The money is not true. The money is corrupt and money loses value. The money is based on theft. Anyone who's consuming that for the first time is like, what is the nonsense he's talking about? But, you know, explore money. Spend 10 hours exploring how money works and you'll agree with every single thing I said there, because it's just factual. Okay, it's just how money works. Okay, and Bitcoin works the opposite way. Okay, it's money that's just based on soundness and truth. And a Bitcoin is one Bitcoin. It's the same unit of measurement. I was chatting to my father about this yesterday and I was saying, Dad, you know, you can build a house with a meter and in 10 years time, a meter is still the same length. But like when you're trying to run a business and you're trying to use a euro, it's a measurement tool as well, but it's not fixed. It's not like a meter. It's not like a kilogram. The fucking thing is changing constantly. It's constantly losing its value. And that's affecting all the decisions I can make. And basically what's happening is my value is being stolen out of the euro. Every day I hold the euro, you know, so it's just a terrible system. And humans have like, you know, we just think things are always been like this, but in the history of money, this is like a grain of sand on the beach that we've been using this trash fiat. It's 50 years. And look at the state of the world. Like, we have one of the fastest growth of technology, which should be making everything cheaper. Like, if you rationally thought about this, I should be working, people should be working, what, 5 hours a week, 2 hours a week, you know, with the productivity gains we have. But because the money is absolute trash and it allows governments to expand and overspend and just get bloated, okay, we just have this wealth destruction going the opposite way. And, you know, it's pretty crazy, but this is why we're passionate about Bitcoin, because once you understand both systems, and it does take time. Like, I've studied Bitcoin for thousands of hours and I've studied money for thousands of hours. A lot of people don't have that time, okay? But once you understand it, that's why you're like a raving lunatic going, come on, like, what are you at here? Why are you living like a slave and just like saving in this thing that's constantly losing your value, or speculating on high risk stuff, when there's a savings technology, okay, with a massive asymmetric advantage, because every human on the planet needs it, every company needs it, every government needs it, every corporation needs it, whatever, everyone needs it, and tiny fraction of the world actually understand it.
Yeah, I would say one of the things that obviously I struggle with is explaining to people that have no idea about it, and just feeding off the media what Bitcoin is. And let me try to explain it here. Let's say we have one product and another product. This product is twice as valuable as this. So if we trade, I would need to have two of these to have one of these. The other thing is, let's say that there are 100 things of these and 100 things of these. And I invent money that is 300 units only. And you can buy only one of those two things. And let's say these are exactly the same and people are not greedy, just to isolate one variable. And let's say with these 300 of units, now you know what the price of this is and what the price of this is. It's 2 units of money about this, 1 unit of money about this. Simple math. Now, let's say that fiat thinking, let's add 300 more units. What is the price of this? What is the price of this? Double. So now apply this to your life and tell me why the hell would you want to add more money unless you're the person that's receiving this new money. Everybody else loses. And with that same logic, now apply it to, I want to buy a house, I want to buy a car, I want to buy anything. And if you can't buy it like right this second, and you apply, let's say, 10% inflation, which I think we are going to experience the next few decades in fiat, in every fiat, at least 10%. And you realize that you can't buy a house. The purchasing price of the house increases more than your ability to save. And even if you have the ability to save something, because all of your expenses are increasing, now it's just have to pay for the things that you can't afford and getting decreased. Go through that extremely simple math. That's the extreme version of what I figured out. And now apply this with something that's not increasing the units of money. I made the math that if you receive 4,000 units of money, you save 1,500 units of money. And let's say the house is 100,000 units of money. If you do the math with 10% inflation, you figure out that you could never buy that house. If you don't manipulate the units of money, you could buy the house in 3.5 years, something like that. And then you'll start saving about everything else that you want in life. And now tell me that you shouldn't save in Bitcoin. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, fiat promotes this consumer world that we, the Western world, struggles from, where no one's happy and we just buy shit to fill the void. And yeah, that's, you know why it is, I think? It's because we've no time. Like, I'm quite fortunate. I set my life up. I'm semi-retired. I've retired a few times. You know, so I spend a lot of time outside. I spend a lot of time thinking. I just spend my time just doing nothing. And I think that's such a gift and a privilege. And most people aren't afforded that, because they got to work their ass off and then they got to run their home and, you know, and do everything that's needed, that they just don't have the time to find themselves. So therefore they try to buy things to find themselves. And it just feeds into this cycle, and then they die. And it's like, you never questioned what the fuck you were here for, or what this journey is about,
yeah,
or thought about it. Like, really, you just served someone else's agenda, which was to squeeze all the value out of you, and your life was wasted. Like, so, you know, it's quite tragic in a way. And I really think, like, in generations, we look back at this era and just go, like, they were psychopaths. Like, how did people go along with that? Like, how did no one question it? Why did the lemons just follow along? Like, and, you know, hopefully we get there and we live in a Bitcoin world where it's completely different and people have time on their terms. And people can work hard and chase money and chase things if they want to. And people can also do as little work as possible and just enjoy life and still be able to live a quality life. Because what fiat does is it extracts the quality out of everything. And this is how I sort of fell down the rabbit hole. Partly, my background is in fitness. I broke my back. I set up a fitness company. I, you know, very successful, ran that. But in learning about nutrition and the food pyramid, I was like, what is this garbage? Like, we were all healthy young lads at the time in college, and they're teaching us this trash. And we're all like, you don't eat like that. You don't eat 9 processed carbohydrates a day if you want to be healthy. Like, that's how you get fat and sick. Like, and
yeah,
you know, I started to question. But then, you know, Bitcoin made the whole world make sense to me. And it's just like, you have to extract the quality. Processed carbohydrates are much cheaper than actual real quality food. The same reason why we're going to eat bugs now soon. And that's just, again, because now processed carbohydrates are too expensive, you know, or certainly any of our protein sources from animals. You know, cow's farts are going to kill the world, whatever the take on that is. But like, it's like, bugs are a lot cheaper. That's the be all and end all. It'll be sold for whatever climate change reason. But it's just that bugs are a lot cheaper to manufacture and process. There's your protein. Eat bugs rather than eating actual, you know,
yeah,
quality meats.
Yeah, and just on that point, actually, I was a vegetarian for 8 years, something like that. And because I quit all the things that are with barcodes, I felt good. And I thought, because I was a vegetarian. But when I started learning about Bitcoin, you get into the health diet and what's actually nutritious. And now that I'm trying to be on the carnivore diet as much as possible, someday I will be. But last year I did an ultra marathon being a vegetarian. And I don't think this year I'll do it, but next year it's definitely in the plans that I'll run 100 kilometers and compare what's the difference there. Because it's nice to listen to experts But at this point, it's getting so ridiculous that the experts have no idea about the whole body. I listened to one podcast a few days ago that they are trained to focus on 2 centimeters of the body. They don't know why these 2 centimeters are getting affected by the whole body and stuff like that. That's ridiculous. It's like, I will change the tire of the car, but I'll make it, let's say, bigger because it's nice. And now you have one wheel of the car, it's like twice the amount, the size of the others. It doesn't make sense. But definitely nutrition, you get into that rabbit hole, but the fiat propaganda is very strong. The whole thing is that the most important is, at this point, Bitcoin cannot be stopped, which is the biggest incentive to get into it. Because if it could have been stopped, then it's a big risk. But at this point, you getting into it, you're making it stronger and you're depleting the fiat system. So get on board, or definitely, as I said, there are people incentivized for you to get worse and worse, incentivized for you to produce the most for somebody else, not for yourself. So, it's horrible.
Yeah, you constantly have to produce more for the same, more for the same, more work for the same output, more work for the same output. And I've chatted about that before, like in that, you know, my granddad, he used to work, he built a family, a home, he built 2 extra houses because he had the disposable income to do that. My parents, now both parents work, they work really hard. And, you know, they work much harder than one person worked. And now in my generation, it's even harder again. Like, and then in the generations behind me, it's just like they haven't a hope of owning anything. Because it's just, you have to do more for the same, more for the same, more for the same. It's just this constant sliding scale until the currency is just totally trash. And we're on that journey. I was looking at the euro, and the euro has lost over 50% of its purchasing power. It's only out 20 years, like 50%. Like 100% to zero. Like, we're halfway there, and people don't realize that that is. I actually wrote a little thing. I wrote this for family and friends, something that I could just give out to people, real simple terms. And then I just made it that I could send to everyone. But I tried to map out in simple terms, and I started with gold. And I just showed people that, listen, if you just got your wages every week and just put it in gold instead of fiat, like, you'd be orders of magnitude more wealthy because your purchasing power wasn't stolen or wasn't depleted as it was in a fiat. And, you know, I think of gold and I think of Bitcoin as not really investing. I think of it more as savings, because gold has been a savings technology for thousands of years. And Bitcoin is a new savings technology. It's basically a technological innovation on top of the analog product, which was gold, you know, just like fucking Netflix is on top of Blockbuster and all these other iterations that we've had. The cloud is on a filing cabinet. It's just a better version. But the fundamentals are the same, and therefore you don't have the investment risk that you have with stocks and, you know, companies and everything else that we can put our money at risk in. To me, it's like it's not a risk. And I suppose I'll give my disclaimer and say, not financial advice, do your own due diligence, don't go buy Bitcoin because Dini said. But just to finish on that point, 10 years ago, a small amount of money invested in Bitcoin would have been the best decision of your life. That is the same today. That small amount invested in Bitcoin is not a guarantee, it's just highly likely to be in a decade a great decision. So you can leave your small amount of the money in the bank and it'll be worth feck all in 10 years. Or you could put your small amount of money in Bitcoin, that's possibly a really good decision. Or you could do even better, you could just start learning about the thing so you can make proper decisions on how to manage your money, you know, and understand risk management and stuff. Anyway, enough on all that. What I want to get into now is, let's make it hopeful. So I think Bitcoin is hope, because I see this in, I watch videos in Africa, of little villages, and they're getting on board, and I'm able to watch the video, get the Lightning QR code, scan it and make a donation straight away instantly. It's awesome, okay? But I also see it in my office. I do Bitcoin consulting and I teach people how to build it into pension plans. And I see that it changes people. They come in worried about everything that's going on in the world, all the uncertainty. And once they start to figure out about Bitcoin, they feel really hopeful. They just feel much more positive. And in our community, I've got a retire early club. It's called a WhatsApp community. It's over 100 people in it. And You know, the people are just more hopeful. They're more positive about the future. They're not as fearful. How do you feel Bitcoin is hope? Do you personally get that? Do you see that?
Me going through my personal story, I know that Bitcoin is hope. That is the emotion that is striking when you get out of fiat. But that is, I would say, the first emotion, because once you realize that you don't need to be hopeful anymore, when you get down further enough in the rabbit hole, or your stack is enough that you don't need to worry about you and your family, then you get into you retire a little bit. But I don't think that people would ever work 2 hours a week. I'm not talking about exceptions, but people would want to connect to other people. People would want to produce stuff, would want other things to manifest in their lives. So if they manifest those things, then they make the lives of the family better, the lives of the community better, the lives of the whole humanity better. But hope, I would say, is the first emotion when you're struck for the first time once you get out of the fiat. And it definitely is, but it's an evolving ecosystem full of humans. And once you get all the people to be hopeful, what is next is my question. For other people will be different things, but then you realize that you can do absolutely anything. Something will take a little time, something will take a little time.
Ivan, just to stop you there, your audio has gone quite bad. Maybe are your headphones okay?
Okay.
That's okay, yeah, maybe the battery's gone them.
1 second.
Go ahead, that's fine now, man.
Okay, how about now?
Oh yeah, we're good.
Yeah, sorry about that. So as is, just to finish, is after hope is where the productivity will be amazing, where all that technology that we are supposed to save us time is not only to save us time, it is to give us more so we can do more, so we can share more, because the fiat system, all the economy needs to be stimulated. Do you think that if I am a millionaire, I'm going to spend less than when I have struggling for food? No. So definitely for each individual, it will be another emotion, but definitely hopeful is a great way to start the journey.
Super. How do you feel about, just ask you a little bit about the current price of Bitcoin, the current market? How do you feel? Do you think we're stable, steady, ahead of ourselves, behind ourselves?
As I talked offline, I received a little bit of a payment, so I bought some more. So my stack increased a little bit. I saw some analytics that the bears are trying to suppress it under 25. So if we get to 25.50, I think it's going to be another bigger jump. But this price is ridiculous. Like, I'm so glad that there is a bear market so I can stack as much as I can. If you get to the point of the example for the two products and you realize that you don't need to do anything but save in Bitcoin, and at some point you say, okay, now I can afford a house, and you buy a house because you had the ability to save for it and you didn't have to learn about investing, you didn't have to learn about so many other things. You do your work, you upgrade your skills and stack as much as you can under 25K. I think in a month max, you'll never be able to do so in this price.
Right, okay.
But that's my guess.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird. Like, I have two theories. I'm like, one, there's so much inflation, so hard for businesses, you know, economically it's a difficult time. We have to go into recession. I'd be walking around looking at the world going, How is everything so grand? Like, you know, I'm like, there's a feckin' tidal wave gonna come and wipe me out. Or maybe we've just fated our way through it, and we can plod on, and we're just gonna slowly have to debase the money. So who knows? Yeah, but definitely it's, I never thought I'd be able to buy Bitcoin at $20,000 again or around that price. So like you, I'm stacking away, and a lot of our community are doing the same. They're taking advantage of the situation. And you know, possibly within a year, all their friends will be telling them they got lucky. And that's something that I get all the time. You got lucky. It's like, no, we've done the work. We put hours into understanding this thing so that you can put your monetary energy into it. You don't do that without a good understanding of it. So it's always proof of work. Talk to me a little bit about Breeze.
Here is the shirt representing. But Breeze, I got lucky enough on a Bitcoin conference in Bulgaria. That happened. I met a few people there, and must have made an impression. So they were gracious enough to put me in front of the team of Breeze, and I'll be joining in next week,
Awesome.
1st of March. But Breeze is known that it's a wallet. But I would say it's not only a wallet, but it's kind of an ecosystem. Because in Breeze, you can receive through Lightning Network, and it's self-custody type of wallet. But not on top of that, you could listen to podcasts, and if you're the one producing the podcast, you can receive sats streamlined through that. So value for value. What Adam Curry created. And Breeze enables you to listen to that podcast and stream those sats. The other thing is there is a POS system. So for merchants, is very suitable to receive and set it up so even your staff can receive money, but only the admin can spend those money in sats. And the latest thing I would say is the SDK that they built for developers. And that's going to be the code that can onboard all the apps on the iPhone to be able to receive sats. So imagine every single app in the App Store to be orange peeled. What's
Wow.
going to happen? So, I'm still not completely in the team, obviously, but I'm very bullish on the team, and I'm so grateful to the people that introduced me. And my true proof of work starts on 1st of March.
Fantastic, man. Well done. Be excited to hear how you're getting on there in the future. And I know you're on Nostr. Can you tell us a little bit about that sort of beginner level?
I started playing with it
What
now
is
2 weeks.
what is it, Ivan? Just for anyone who's not familiar with it.
Nostr is a protocol that allows you to save your connections, and it's peer-to-peer communication. Just like Bitcoin, I can send you some sats and nobody has to know. The technology there is that I send you a message the same way, but it's kind of broadcasted to the whole network. And the way that I visualize it, at least myself, is imagine that Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all those platforms are connected to a base layer where all your connections are on this base layer. And let's say somebody posts something on Snapchat. Let's say I have a Snapchat, and it's broadcasted to all those platforms. So this is kind of the messaging. And I don't have to have Twitter in order to be connected to those people because they're on the base layer. And with this shadow banning and all kinds of algorithms that are against you, now there is no algorithm, but the communication goes peer to peer. And let's say Twitter gets blocked or gets bankrupt, you don't lose any of your connections. And which is the coolest thing is that you don't come only as your account, but you come also with your own wallet. So you can stream sats. Let's say I like this meme, so I'm going to send you five sats, or I like this song or everything else. And now the streaming sats is incredible. And they implemented some cool stuff with different clients. And the streaming of sats with Wallet of Satoshi exploded. Like the last week, it's really parabolic. but you can connect other wallets as well. But that's kind of it. It's your place where you save your connections, but you broadcast the message through all the platforms. Now it's still early days, and there are some bugs, and there are limitations on all those clients, all those future Twitters, future Instagrams, and stuff like that. But they're building it extremely fast. And I think for this month alone, it went for February, or I think for January, not exactly certain, that it went from 100,000 users to 600,000 users. So it's getting really connected really fast. And it's really fun where you receive some sats and you don't know why, but just because you're there. But you obviously have to provide some type of value. But for example, let's say this podcast, you can broadcast, let's say, 1 minute or 2 minutes, place it there and say, how much is this value to you? And people will stream you sats because of it. So that's my take on Nostr.
Deadly, sounds awesome. I'll have to link your Twitter and your Nostr in the show notes. You can send them on to me and we'll stick them on. People can find you if they're on it. And maybe when I get on Nostr, you can show me around. My last question, Ivan, is always just for a bit of fun. And you can give me a bullish and a bearish answer. But I always like to ask people, what is the price? And it's getting easier now because we're getting closer. We're in 2023. But in 2030, what do you think the price of Bitcoin might be?
I would say that really don't care when you're deep in the rabbit hole enough. You know that it's going to be so much more than you just save. Now, it's for the first time we have true money, and it's true savings, and it's working for you, not against you. But 2030, anything between a million and 5 million, I think, is my guess.
Wow, awesome. No one can no one can say we're not bullish.
Yeah. And I would say that the next 10 years would even explode. I was doing the game theory in my mind, because Africa right now is adopting much faster than some other countries that are first world countries. And even if they don't have the big stack of Bitcoin, because all the technology, now they'll have the ability to go there, it's going to explode and manifest a lot of things of productivity in their world. And it wouldn't matter that they don't have, let's say, thousands of Bitcoins. It would matter that they build the roads, they build infrastructure, they build businesses, nobody can steal from them. And all that productivity will manifest much more physically than all its number go up. Because they don't have that ability to save as much as somebody from America or England or Germany, or doesn't matter. But their ability to be productive will be so much harder, because right now they have 50, 60, 70% of inflation. Imagine that I give you bricks to build a wall, and next year I give you 70% smaller brick. And another, like, try to build a house this way. That's what they have there. But once the bricks are the same, I'm so grateful to all the people that were involved in Bitcoin, because that is what's going to liberate Africa. And my story, it's kind of my personal story, but I'm so happy for those people, because a lot of Elon Musk, a lot of Teslas, a lot of people that are in that caliber are there, and we don't have their capacity just because they think how to survive.
That's brilliant, man. Ivan, it's been a pleasure to chat to you today and get to know you a little bit better. And thanks for sharing all your thoughts, your story. It's been a fantastic conversation. And I'll link your Twitter and your Nostr in the show notes, man. Thanks very much. Look forward to catching up soon.
Thank you. We'll keep in touch.